Welcome to the Round 17 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined again by Dunny and Bryce.
Hey, everyone.
G'day, it's Bryce here representing the Rocky fan club.
Oh, gosh. There was so many sick burns on the weekend on Twitter directed my way. I'm not a part of the Rocky fan club. The Goldstein club's bounced back, and Mark's happily captaining that. And worst of all, Scotty Pendlebury. I mean, fresh after trading him out, he is just punching me in the guts. For context, this guy hadn't hit a ton in weeks and weeks when I traded him out. And Mark seems to be just a lucky guy. You know, it was more his price point than anything else. He dropped the 490K, traded him out, and he's just absolutely killing it. So I'm trying trying not to let the emotions spill over too much. Thankfully, Mark's not here to just pour salt all over the wounds. But do either of you gents have Pendlebury at all?
No, I don't.
Sadly, I don't have him. I was looking at him for this week, but went a different direction. But proud to say I'm also a card-carrying member of the Rocky fan club as well. And watching him just take Mark and cheap Mark and cheap kick after cheap Mark and cheap kick on Saturday afternoon was fantastic.
Well, all right. I'll let you guys be on the Rocky bandwagon, but you can get on the anti-Pendlebury bandwagon now. All right, let's start as we do each week with a quick team update. So I ended up trading out 5 for Kelly. I scored 23.70, which in the scheme of things was pretty poor. I had Miocek come on for Simpson, only scored the 46. Shaw, again, painful, only 71. Just need to get rid of him. Webster will look pretty tempting next week, I reckon. At least Grundy's continuing to kill it, and that's fantastic. Ahern came on with an 81 as a sub for Heaney. Yeah, I don't know. Just a mediocre week. Franklin wasn't amazing. There was some massive scores out there. So I'll let somebody who is a little bit happier take the next shot. Dunny, I know you had a massive one on the weekend. Why don't you tell us about it, mate?
Yeah, I had a pretty good week. Something must have known that I was coming back on the podcast again this week. But I finished with a 24.39 this week. I was pretty happy with my team. I took the Gawn loophole at 151. I'm pretty happy with Logan Austin coming onto my field for his 86 in replacement for Cade Simpson. That was pretty good. I also had the Ahern 81 come on the field, but with Yo at 142, Rocky 121, Clayton Oliver 154, and Devin Smith's 124 with Robbie Gray 109. Just really, really happy with my team this week.
So I didn't fare as well as Dunny. I scored 24-12 this week, which was a reasonable score. I felt a little bit down by the cover that I had come on for Heaney and Simpson. Were pretty underwhelming with Joel Smith's 54 and Guelphy with a 51. So that really hurt my score being a lot higher. I also had a Buddy 60 and Neil fresh into my side for Fife with a 78, and seeing some of the other scores for Fife replacements really hurt, especially Pendle's going up to 150. So in the good news for my team, fresh in was Jake Lloyd, who scored a 141. So that was a nice welcome into the team, just kept down a little bit by those other scores.
Yeah, 2400's still a good score there, mate, and that puts me at last for the week, so if that makes you feel any better. On to a quick group update. Mark's Tankosaurus regained the lead of our Supercoach Coach group. He's sitting at fifth, so he held his position. Richard's team, who moved up into fourth last week, had a slight slide into seventh. I want to give a shout-out to Nick's team, Nick's the numbers men. He scored 2600+, which pushed him into the top 20, and he's sitting at 14th. So that's a massive, massive score and a nice push-up with seven rounds to go. Certainly still in it to win it. And just a shout out to the 9 individuals, Supercoach Coach community members in the top 100 at the moment. I think that's a pretty massive accomplishment. That's almost 10%, almost 1 in 10 of the top 100 sitting in our community at the moment. And I think we've got a lot to be proud about. So that's huge, and we'll be cheering you on. In terms of a quick league update, we currently occupy 7 of the top 13. And I've noticed over the last 3 weeks, we've been gaining ground on first. So we closed in another 500 points. There's 1,500 to go with 7 rounds to go. Hopefully we can keep chipping away and put ourselves into a spot where we can take the back-to-back league title again. That'd be fantastic. All right, let's move on to talk about some rookies for anyone who's looking at a potential downgrade candidate or who might need to side swap rookies to cover a premium. Start with Brad Lynch in the back line, who's on the bubble. He scored 63 in his first game and backed it up with an 84. He's priced at $124,000. Drafted in the rookie drafts a couple of years ago now, so this is his third full year in the system. That's just about time to start standing up as a player and start knocking on the team door. I think the good part from a job security point of view is Bulldogs have been decimated a little bit by injury, so that certainly plays to his favor. Although, you know, in terms of consistent long-term job security, I'm not 100% he'll necessarily play out the entire season. Gents, do you have any other thoughts to add on Lynch? I mean, he's really the only backline option available on the bubble this week.
I probably would probably stay away from him myself, but if you were super desperate, you could pick him up. I'm not overly convinced on his job security, but as you say, they do have a lot of injuries, so that will certainly help the situation. But I wouldn't count on him for any more than that really desperate backup.
How about Jack Trengove, Dunny? $162,000, and he scored 77 twice in his first two games for Port Adelaide. $162,000 means that you are getting 40K less to play with for any injury trades or final upgrades at this stage of the season. So I'd be very hesitant in the first place to spend that extra money. Can you mount a good reason why he should come into our sides?
Mate, standing there watching him on Saturday afternoon, to Adelaide Oval, I was a little worried as to what he was actually doing in our team. But you know, there are a few injuries there. And I think with Jasper Pittard out at the moment, he's probably a chance to stay in the side, and particularly with Tom Jonas now going down and Jack Hompsch will come back in to replace him. He will stay in the side for a little bit, but I think there's better options in that midfield. And I think the next guy we were going to talk about there, Braden Sire from Collingwood, is definitely one of those better options and 40K cheaper, as you mentioned there, Marcus.
Yep. So is Trengo playing more in the back line at the moment, Donny?
He looked to be playing, across half back most of the game where I saw him. I did see him stuff up and give away a goal at one point, which is probably why I didn't want him in the side at that given point. But yeah, look, he seemed to be playing across that half back role, similar to what Jasper does. But like I said, I'm not really sold on him going forward. So I'd rather spend a little bit less on one of these other guys who I think has probably got better job security than what he does.
So the bloke you brought up there, Dunny, is Braden for Collingwood. Scored 83 in his first game, backed it up with a 57, a big-bodied midfielder. And so the injury to Treloar certainly bodes well for his job security, almost to see out the year potentially if he can keep, you know, form up. I think Treloar's out for pretty much until close to the final series.
I personally don't think that I'll be doing any downgrades for the rest of the season. I've got 4 trades left. If you had a few more trades in the bank and needed a downgrade option, he's probably one of the better ones. One thing about rookies in the midfield as well, you've got 3 spots there, so you've got 3 opportunities for players to be available to come onto the field. So even if their job security isn't that good, it's probably the place where you can hide them the best. And Braden's actually probably got a good chance going forward, like you gents said, with job security. So I think he's probably the pick of the bunch, other than possibly someone that plays for Geelong.
Yeah, Quinton Narkle, got a fantastic name, fantastic locks, pretty dynamic around the ball as well, and pretty exciting to watch as a Geelong supporter. That aside, there are quite a few players in our team at the moment who are probably more fringe than Narkle. Narkle's come back from an ACL, played a few games in the VFL and then slotted straight into the team. So we clearly rate him very highly. He plays that small forward role for Geelong, which is currently lacking. I don't think anybody's really consolidated their spot there yet. Lachie Fogarty has hit the wall a little bit, and I think Narkle's probably gone past him at this stage. Jordan Murdoch was dropped ahead of Narkle. Jermaine Jones is probably sits behind Narkle. He's certainly ahead of a few people, and I could see him staying in the team a little bit, but you know, keep in mind we've got Menzel, Cockatoo, Henderson. We've got quite a few players to come back. So there's a chance he gets squeezed out at some stage. But I do really like what he brings to Geelong, and I can see him playing a majority of the games to round out the season. So he's not a bad option.
You can be a little bit deterred by a 37 in his second week. That was against a Sydney side. His first game was a 73 against Western Bulldogs. Rookie scores, particularly small forwards, are more affected against better teams. He's got a few friendly draws coming up. He plays Brisbane, plays Fremantle and Gold Coast in three of the seven games remaining. So there's some potential there to get some better scores on the run home.
I mean, as a biased Geelong supporter, I'd probably have Narkle ahead of Braden. So just temper that with the fact that I'm clearly excited by this bloke. But he's certainly a better prospect than appears on the surface is basically the summation of that. Now, last player to talk about on the bubble is also available in the midfield, but he's the DPP player that's also available in the forward line. So that flexibility could prove pretty tempting. He's priced at $121,800. Will Powell, 39 in his first game, 66 in his second for the Gold Coast Suns. Gold Coast should give games to kids, so you'd think job security isn't awful, although they can cycle lots of different rookies through those positions sometimes. He was picked in the first round of last year's draft, so talent certainly there, and he was a bit of a bolter as well, so potentially has a very bright future ahead of him, but very lightly built at this stage, and that certainly works against him in terms of scoring his early stage of his career at the moment.
I don't get to watch many games of footy these days. I tend to watch the ins and outs and lots of stats, but Gold Coast seemed to be a bit of a revolving door for rookies this season, so I'd be a little bit worried about him coming in, playing a couple of games, maybe one more, and then heading back to the NEFL when the next guy comes in. So that's the only worry I'd have with him, and I don't really want that kind of player being the cover for the rest of the season, so I'd tend to lean towards the other guys.
Yeah, and when clubs are not winning a lot of games, they can often get into a phase where they're actually just trying out different rookies and seeing which ones can prove themselves over a stretch of three or four games in the AFL, and then they might not see light of day for the rest of the season. So that's definitely a good call out. Look, if you're downgrading at this stage of the season, none of the options are fantastic. You're probably going to be bringing a guy with questionable job security, but you'll probably be dictated a little bit about where you need the cover or where you need to downgrade. So Lynch might be a downgrade target for you. Otherwise, Braden or Narkle aren't too bad either. And if you're forced to, in the forward line, Will Powell's an option as well. All right, let's move on to some actual questions that we got from the community now. The first one here is from Blair Hart from Facebook. He has one upgrade to go, and he's asking whether or not to go short on his last upgrade and pick somebody up in the 450 to 500K range, or trade in a rookie that's about 200K and get another 100K for an upgrade and bring in someone who's sitting at the 550 to 600K mark, which at this stage are the absolute top line premiums. And for context, Blair has seven trades left. Now, seven trades is heaps. That's one around for the rest of the season. And in that scenario, I would almost definitely say do a double trade. I'm guessing you gents would agree with that. So I really more want to ask, what's the trade boundary at which you would say, I'm only going to single trade and take the compromised option over doing the double trade and bringing in a top line option instead?
Absolutely, I would do what you suggested there in Blair's situation. I would double trade if I had seven left. God, I wish I had seven left. If it took me down to four by double trading, so if I had six left at the moment, I'd probably say you could still do it just, but yeah, if I had five, I'd probably be saying no to double trading at this point of the season. Six would probably be the absolute minimum that I would look at taking a double trade with.
Yeah, I'm probably pretty similar to Dunny. I'm probably happier to go down to fewer trades at this point of the season. For example, last week I finished the second half of my double trade to get Lloyd in. So I had an option of going for Hurley as a single trade or double trade to Lloyd. I had seven trades at that point and decided to double trade to complete my team. And that was a week ago. So definitely in his situation, seven trades, I'd be definitely double trading. I'd probably be happy to go down to four trades after this round with a double trade.
agreeing with you both there. As a general rule, when you start getting down to calculating how many trades you have left, one trade for every two rounds is about right. So three trades for seven rounds to go puts you a little bit light on, whereas four trades with seven rounds feels a little bit more comfortable. So that's a good rule to go with. And so six or seven trades means you double trade, and five, you get a little bit more sketchy. Although if you wanted to take the risk, if you've thought that it was worthy of an upgrade, you could still potentially push it, but I would recommend against it. Now, next question is from @samkent1997 on Twitter. How many trades would you want before a Steph Martin to Brody Grundy luxury trade? And I think you could probably apply this to lots of other trade situations. Essentially, how many trades would you need to do a luxury trade? Would that be sort of a similar mark, 6-7, or, you know, with an upgrade to Grundy, you know, one of the top ruckmen in the comp, would you potentially make an exception there?
Once again, I'd say 5 would be the absolute minimum that you'd want. So, yeah, if you can get there in one trade and you've got 5 left, yeah, you could do it this week. But if you didn't need to do it, I probably wouldn't.
I'm probably pretty similar, I guess, based on averages. Grundy's got an average for the season, 127. Steph has got an average of about 106. So if we base it on their averages for the season so far, there's about 20 points different. Over seven rounds, it's about 140 points, which can probably be a justified trade. So then it comes down to how many trades are left. And the principle we've talked about before with double trade, I think, applies here. So I'd be happy maybe to do a luxury trade to go from 5 down to 4. But that's probably the line for me.
Agree with both your boundaries there. I think the only thing I'd add on top of that is the fact that 20 points per week with seven rounds to go is right on the boundary of what is acceptable for a trade. 140 points is on the low end, even at this stage of the season. To cover a out or a donut or whatever, you're going to be able to net 100 points instantly that way. And so you're not guaranteed 20 points from Steph to Grundy. Grundy could drop off a bit. Steph could do a little bit better. All right, next question from David Sabo. Is Luke Shuey a viable M8 or M9?
Yeah, I'm still pretty keen on the Shuey option. I don't think that he raised much in price this week, so he's still quite a friendly option as far as price goes, around the 400K. It's something that I've been wanting to need for my team, but I managed to trade 5-0, so I've got my 8 primos on field. I probably wouldn't be bringing in an M9 type player unless I had a player missing for a week. So that's kind of my decision point for whether to bring in a primo bench option, is if there's a primo missing for 1 week, then I'd look to try and get one of my rookies up to one of those M9 options. So that's my decision point. But also, I guess if you're low on trades, low on money, and that's all you can afford for your M8 position, I think he's a really good option for the run home. A little bit of risk. He can fade out of games, be a bit of a downhill skier at times, but he's got a bit of history there for scoring between 95 or something in previous seasons. So I think at his price, he's an option to be considered. Just is a little bit team dependent. I wouldn't be bringing him in myself.
I think if it was your final upgrade and you didn't have cash, he's a viable M8. If you're trading out a 5 option, I would pick a different M8 if you can afford it. And so if you're trading out 5, you can probably afford a better M8 option there. As an M9, I'd trade him in if he was covering 5. So exactly the scenario you mentioned, Bryce, if he's going to actually cover for a donut. Otherwise, if he's a luxury M9 and he's not actually coming on field, then I would definitely pass on Shuey and I pick a mid-forward M9 or def mid M9 instead. That way, he can cover multiple positions, potentially even 3 positions if you have additional DPP available with a back forward link, for example. All right, next question from Jeff Lane, one of our patrons. He's asking about dealing with a Simpson donut if that extends for another week. So that was a little bit painful for some more than others. Jeff copped a donut, which is not much worse than Miocek's 40. he's looking at Lynch to come in as cover on the weekend, potentially in Murphy or Ridley's stead. First up, Is it worth side-swapping a rookie who hasn't appreciated much in price to get rookie cover for a premium? And if so, Murphy or Ridley, who would you trade out? Dunny, do you have any thoughts about that?
Definitely not in favor of side-swapping rookies at this point. If you're low on trades and I know he's going to be out for a week or two, then I would probably be more likely to side-swap Simpson in that case. If you're going from one rookie who's not playing to another rookie who is playing this week, you don't know if he's going to be playing the following week. And if Simpson misses again, then you're going to have to burn another trade to avoid another donut. For me at the moment, if I'm looking at bringing any rookies in, they've got to be someone who's got some good job security because they're going to be someone who you're going to need to rely on going forward. There's going to be more laid outs. There's going to be more injuries. And as you run lower and lower on trades, you can't afford to keep side swapping these guys to the latest flavor of the week. So look for the rookies who have got that good job security and that they're likely to be there for the rest of the run home. But you know, in the case of Simpson, I think at the time we were recording this, we don't know if he's going to be missing for another week or indeed a number of weeks. But for me, I just think you've got to really value those trades. And if he is missing for another one, it looks like it's going to be two, then as much as I hate side-swapping a premium, you're more likely to get better value out of doing that with him than side-swapping to another rookie who could be missing the following week for you when you need him again.
Yeah, it's some excellent points. I think I'm probably learning a little bit on what to do in that situation myself. I've considered both options of if Simpson was to miss again and there was uncertainty about him going forward for a few weeks, I'd probably be inclined to trade Simpson out. The problem with Simpson is he's quite a good scorer in your top six, so if you trade him out, he's gone for the season and you've burned a trade. But if it's looking like a 1 week, as in one this week, and then he's going to be back and you might need rookie coverage for the rest of the season, I probably consider the side swap of the rookie if you can get a rookie in that you're confident in their job security. So Lynch, if we assess his job security as being reasonable going forward and he's going to cover Simpson for 1 week, then I might be inclined to pick him.
The one consideration in why I might sideswap a rookie is if you think that there's a chance that you'll continue to have to cover premium outs for the next seven runs on the run home and you're not confident that Murphy and Ridley will return. Even if you deal with Simpson, if you get another premium out, you might need to deal with another donut in that situation again. And again, you're faced with Murphy and Ridley who are not getting games.
If I can just jump in there, Mark, because I agree with that completely. I guess my advice there is saying, if you're going to side swap that rookie, make sure you're getting someone who is going to be there for the run home.
Absolutely. I, in general, though, I do very much resonate and agree with your advice, Dunny. I think it is fraught with danger side-swapping rookies to try and cover premiums when you could just side-swap the premium instead and get true premium scoring. Imagine bringing Lynch in and having Lynch cover for 40 and get dropped next week and you only make 80K. It's an absolutely terrible scenario. And I've faced that many times. So I think it's actually really, really wise advice. That's what I was saying. The only reason I'd think of side-swapping a rookie is if you thought that it'd be an ongoing problem and again, you saw that rookie that could come in staying on an ongoing basis. With this particular scenario, you might even consider swallowing the donut for another week if you weren't confident on Brad Lynch. So a lot of that hinges on Lynch and his job security. And I don't think we expressed too much confidence in him in the long term, but certainly over the next couple of weeks, he doesn't look like too bad an option. So it's a pretty tough call, and I think you probably just need to go with your gut on whether or not you think, you know, you've got a lot of injury risk in your team moving forward, how you see Brad Lynch's job security moving forward. A lot of this is crystal ball stuff that, you know, is very fringe. So I could see it going either way. Ridley, I definitely wouldn't trade out. Like, you're getting 40K from the trade. It is pretty awful. Murphy at 200K, you get 80K from that trade. Maybe it's a little bit more palatable because you could use the 80K to deal with an injury and maybe upgrade a premium later on in case of injury. So maybe trade Murphy out for Lynch. Definitely don't trade Ridley out for Lynch. I'd be more inclined to side swap Simpson and take a punt that Simpson only averages 100 on the run home. You can pick somebody that is going to average 98. And so the points you gain won't be negated too much on the run home because you only lose 2 points a week on the run home. So I much prefer trading Simpson out, to be frank.
One more thing to add there is that if you can bring in some premium in the back line that you don't already have, like a Lloyd or a Sicily or one of the big guns in the top six, then you might get some more benefit from doing that side swap of the premium on the run home. We're also not sure about Simpson going forward. Is he going to have old man calves and his scoring will drop off and maybe miss another game? So it might be an opportunity to move him on and get one of the guys you don't have back there.
I'm hoping that this is all just speculative talk because he hasn't missed a game since 2015. There's a good chance he just had a tight calf and we don't have to worry about it too much. But in that scenario where he is out, it will be a fairly prickly scenario to navigate through, and I'm not sure that there's a definitive best option. Next question is from Dean Phelps, one of our patrons. He is precariously placed in the bottom half of the top eight in his cash league, and trades are very low. But he's got one final backline upgrade to make. Is Lloyd a must-have, or is Hearn, Hurley, Webster, Howe, and a whole host of other sort of slightly cheaper options, potentially better options there? I know out of the three of us, Bryce, you have Jakey Lloyd, and he's a fresh entrant in your team. Did you see Lloyd as a must-have, and is that why you traded him in?
So I was faced with this prospect a couple of weeks ago where I had the choice of going with a Hurley with one trade, but a Lloyd with a double trade. I went with the Lloyd double trade. I had seven trades at that point, so my trades were a bit more luxurious. If you're on life support, I'm not sure it's something that you can pull off, doing the double trade and going down to, I mean, life support, we're talking about two or three. When you're more focused on leagues, you probably want a few more trays up your sleeve because you want to be peaking at finals time. So if you need to do that kind of last upgrade to try and finish in the eight, you might roll the dice and go a Hurley or something who seems to maybe have turned the corner in the latest game. If you really last ditch effort and trying to make the eight, then go for the Lloyd option, just to try and make finals. It really depends on how that's looking for you. If league is a focus, then sometimes you just got to go hard and not leave any trades in the bank and bring in a Lloyd just to make sure you get there.
Dunny, he scored 122, 136 and 141, and we're certainly sucking our thumbs on the sidelines. do you see Lloyd as a must-have?
Look, if I didn't have him and I had a spot left to upgrade in the back line, I'd definitely be looking at picking him up. I'm liking his form. I had him last year and I was a massive fan last year. Haven't managed to get him into my side this year, but particularly out of those guys that Dean's looking at there, I think he's a far safer option than those other guys. So yeah, he'd be the one that I'd be bringing in.
Since they've acknowledged that their midfield's a bit down with Hannes being a little bit out of form, Parker being parked a bit more in the forward line, they've definitely increased his exposure to the midfield. And since round eight, he's only missed the 100 once, and he's had some massive scores in there. 130, 173, 136, and 141. So he's certainly been an absolute gun. If you do have the opportunity to bring him in, I certainly would recommend it. I am definitely nervous on the run home without him. He's averaging like a midfielder at the moment, more than a defender, averaging 110. And that's off the back of not hitting the ton more than once in the first seven rounds. So he's definitely coming with a strong charge to the finish. And if he keeps it up, that'd be pretty scary.
Averaging 127 from round 8 to round 16.
Jeebus, that is a no good thing. Next question is from @Ateel. Looking at alternates to Lloyd for his last defensive upgrade, and cash would certainly be a consideration with that as well. At 589, he's one of the most expensive players in the game at the moment. And he's asked us to rank a few different options, including Webster when he bottoms out. Gents, do you have any thoughts on best backline alternatives to Lloyd at this stage of the season?
I think the ones that he's listed there in Brayshaw, Crisp, Howe, and then Webster. Look, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Angus Brayshaw at the moment. I think he'd probably be one of the ones that'd be at the top of my list out of that group. Probably pretty closely followed by Crisp. I must admit, I'm not sure what he did last week though. But yeah, I think Brayshaw would probably be the one that I'm looking at if he can't get to Lloyd.
Yeah, I definitely like Webster a lot. next week. He's at 426,000 now. His break even's 170. So if you're not rushed and you can cover or keep a player on field, I'd be pretty tempted to wait the extra week and save a whole bunch of money for an upgrade. Although I understand the temptation to upgrade early is definitely there. Bryce, any thoughts on upgrade targets?
So of the four listed, Brayshaw, Crisp, Howe and Webster, I really like the price point of Webster and Brayshaw. I think that they could be really good scorers on the run home. I think Webster was averaging 104 before he got injured. So if he can get back to that kind of scoring, he's a bargain at under 400K next week, or even at his price now of 426. That's only a price at an average of 87. So you're still getting a guy who was averaging 104 for a price of about an average of 87. So if I had to rank them, I really like the look of Brayshaw on the weekend. So I'd have him just ahead, also with the mid defender DPP. Webster, second, Crisp, third. It's a little bit expensive, 517. He's kind of tapered off a little bit. And Howe, number four.
Yeah, outside of Webster, if I'm going to open it up to all options, I think Laird, Yo, Sicily still sit on the top if you don't have those. Otherwise, I'd probably go with Crisp first, actually. I'm really impressed with his consistency over the last eight rounds. He scored 119, 112, 97, 115, 110, 117, 92, and 95. So he's not scored lower than 92 in his last eight games, which is pretty impressive. Brayshaw, I'm definitely a big fan of, and he'd be the next off the rank for me, but he's been a little bit more inconsistent. And even though he gets a lot of the pill, he doesn't always necessarily turn those into Supercoach points, but his upside is potentially a little bit higher than Crisp. So He's had a 60 in his last few games. The next lowest is 89 and 91, but his upside includes a 130 and 126, so a little bit higher than Crisp there. Price point is definitely in Brayshaw's favor, though, being 60K cheaper. So if price is a factor, then Brayshaw obviously skips ahead of Crisp. Hearn is an honorable mention if you don't have him. He's maintained his consistency throughout the season, which is certainly not something that I would have predicted. He's still averaging 99 16 rounds in, which is not something he's ever achieved before. But at this stage, with only seven rounds to go, I think there's a good chance he continues that. And then Howe would probably round out the options that I would consider. He's pretty up and down, a little bit of a roller coaster, which means that he could potentially average 110 for you if you get a hot run. He could also average, you know, closer to the 90 mark if you get sort of a colder patch. So he's a little bit more risk reward. Hurley and McDonald are potentials, but they're key position players, and Hurley's playing more like a true key position player at the moment, so probably pass on them. All right, next question is from at Crazy Taylors. He's wanting us to compare Lambert, McLean, and Walters, all mid-forward DPPs for the run home at around 440K. Who scores best in the run home? What do you reckon?
Lambert, I look at his numbers and they're pretty inconsistent through the season. There's a 49 and a 46 and a 64 in his run, and his top scores is 126. So I probably have him a fair bit lower than the other two, but they could all turn out good options on the run home. It's only a 7 week period, so they could definitely all go on hot streaks. Opposition depending, and also how they're playing. So Lambert also plays in the top of the table team, so that could work in his favour.
I'd go Walters, McLean, Lambert. That's really tough because McLean has been in ripping form in the first half of the season, but he's dropped quite considerably over the last few weeks. And Walters has actually been pretty consistent. With Fife out for a little bit, he should get more midfield opportunity. When you take that 17 out, his average actually looks really, really good. So Walters first for me, and then definitely agree on Lambert. He's very shaky. I don't have him very high up in the consideration set, and there are quite a few people I'd take over Lambert who might cost a little bit more than 440. So if anyone has, you know, up to 470K, I'd take Franklin probably ahead of Lambert. Behind Franklin, probably Menegola ahead of Lambert. Behind that, probably Devin Smith even. Probably even take the risk on Hogan ahead of Lambert. And even Mundy, I'd be pretty tempted to take ahead of Lambert, and Mundy's about 15K cheaper. So I don't know if that's going too cold on Lambert, but certainly the inconsistency in scoring that you flag, Bryce, is super fair. In his last seven rounds, he's only hit the ton once, and that certainly is very concerning. All right, as we do to wrap up the show each week, let's finish up with a captain's corner. Last week, a lot of us cashed in on Maxi Gawn and be very, very happy about that. Gawn is playing on the Saturday midday game this week, so certainly a decent VC option again against the Bulldogs with no real Ruckman in their side at the moment. They play lots of quasi Ruckman who pinch hit. Gents, have you considered your captaincy options for the week yet?
All right, I've got a few scribblings here as we're doing the podcast, but yeah, Gawn's the obvious one against the Bulldogs. Another common option for VC and C is Grundy. He plays West Coast this week. He's probably going to score fairly well, I'd expect. So he might be a good backup option. The other options that I like the look of, Danger's probably not going to score much against the Crows, hopefully, when he returns to Adelaide Oval on Friday night. But that might be an option if you think that Geelong's going to go fairly well there. Patrick Cripps on a Friday night versus the Saints, that could be a pretty decent VC option. But it's hard to go past Tom Mitchell, despite scoring a 70-ish score last week. Last two times that he's scored in the 70s, he's backed it up the next week with an average of 140 this season. And that includes a 155 in the week after a 70 against the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba, and they just happened to be playing the Brisbane Lions this week. So that was up at the Gabba. This one's down in Tasmania, so it could be upwards of 160 if my maths is correct and all logic is applied, but we know it doesn't quite work like that. So my options are probably a VC of Tom Mitchell and then into Max Gawn as the backup.
Yeah, I like those options, Bryce. I'm probably a little bit more gung-ho on Danger on a Thursday night than yourself. Doesn't really bother me how well he scores, but I know you've got a vested interest there, mate. I'm hoping that he really enjoys his trip back to Adelaide Oval and gets a heap of points for my side. But yeah, I think Tom Mitchell loves UTAS Stadium, as it's known down there, down in Launceston. So I'm expecting big things from him against Brisbane. But yeah, Max, it's very, very hard to go past Maxi Gawn. Another one you might want to look at potentially, Devin Smith against the Gold Coast. You know, he could do all right there. That's on the Saturday night. With Grundy up against Nick Nat, not sure how that matchup's going to go. But if you are a Goldstein owner, Goldie up against Sydney on the Sunday, that could be a pretty good one. Not sure, you know, what Sydney will throw at him, but I'll think Goldie should have another good game in that one. What do you think, Marcus?
Definitely wanting to run with Gawn as VC. Where I can, I try and go for the best option as the VC, and I think Gawn looks to me like the best option for the week this week. So then I'm picking the captaincy option as a backup. For me personally, I don't actually have a heap of options post-Gawn, so it might be a Robbie Gray against Fremantle. Frio actually looked quite poor without Fife at the moment. Elliot Yeo might not be a bad backup option as well, now that he's playing a bit more midfield time. If you had Zach Merritt against Gold Coast, that'd be a decent backup option for Gawn. I think I'd avoid the GWS Richmond game because I'm not too sure where the points will flow there. I think I'd also avoid Grundy versus Nick. Even though Grundy should have Nick Nat covered around the ground, Grundy does tend to score a few points from the tap outs, which Nick will shark a fair few of. Goldstein's is certainly a good option that you brought up there against Sydney. And anyone who has Lockie Neal for Frio, you might consider him against Port Adelaide as well. All right, that wraps up this week's show. Looking at the rundown, I was worried there wouldn't be enough, but I'm glad we found a way to populate lots of content there, and hopefully it was great for our listeners. I want to thank both you gents for the last couple of weeks. Bryce, for your first two full shows. I think you've done a brilliant job, and Dunny, really appreciated you coming on all 3 weeks in a row in Mark's absence. So big shout out to both of you for your contributions. It's been fantastic, and we've had great feedback around both of you over the last few weeks. So very, very much appreciated.
No worries, mate. All good.
Thanks very much for having on the show.
Plenty for Mark to live up to when he gets back from his holidays.
Exactly, exactly.
At least Mark will keep the Rocky fan club alive.
All right, gents, any final thoughts to round out the show?
No, just looking forward to having all my primos on the field this week. So good luck to everyone out there.
Just praying for nothing to come out of left field at selection this week. And just like Bryce, looking forward to not having to field any of those bench cover rookies this week.
All right, gents. And with that, we'll sign off. See you next week.
See you, everyone.
Bye for now.